Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet.
Name. Name your price.
A tool, an idea, an inspiration. To do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no. But to see the options that could fit your budget.
Steve,
enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazim has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazim Rashid.
Thank you again, my wonderful Dorothy, for a great introduction. And it is another day in paradise. Another day in paradise. Yes, let's take time to breathe. Yes. Paradise here in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the good old USA. Welcome all into our Paradise One studio where every day is a holiday and a party never stops. Yay! All righty. Okay, our studio audience is growing, I believe. Very good. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show, which is based on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. We always start with a nice opening prayer for our blessing, a nice universal prayer, and like I've mentioned before, on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to a particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for the powerful, peaceful, passionate, and productive life you have created for us. Thank you for the unimaginable abilities you have placed within each and every one of us. Thank you for creating us for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. Thank you for giving us the ability to rise above our stresses and problems and come out a winner, matching the winning mold in which you have created us. Thank you for giving us the life we thought was only a dream. Amen. Ooh, that was a good one. All right, for show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointments in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book Reconnected and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The long-awaited book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available now at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, Healthy Habit Health Food Stores in Phoenix, Arizona, and Jazzy Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com. Take a note, this is a new email address, N as in Nazim, R as in Rashid, bookclub@gmail.com. Or you can just go to his website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his book and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you. Nazim?
Yes, it is. Yes, time for the new you. The new you. Mm-hmm, absolutely. And in case you didn't know it, our company is called New You Enterprises. Yes, 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 yes. So, all right, very good. Welcome again to the Reconnected Show. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind, your inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. Reconnected is for those adults who want to create real internal change in their lives by addressing significant emotional events in their past which are affecting them presently. Mm-hmm. It is also for parents who want vital information in raising their genius young souls. Mentors, mm-hmm, who can appreciate additional tools for the ones shadowing them, their mentees, and teachers who would cherish more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered. And also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to their higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. Mm-hmm. You see, it's really a multi-purpose manual. 6 manuals in one. It is a parent's manual. Yeah, we always want parents to have the best tools possible and to improve the emotional literacy in our children so they can adequately express how they're really feeling. That's in there, along with deep breathing exercises and other ways to take stress off of them and realize the energy core they have within them. Mm-hmm. A teacher's manual. We want the teachers to have a more of an empathic connection with their students. This will enhance the education process. Recovery manual. We have over 100 pages on just that alone, helping people come out of a dark life of addiction to a light of hope, promise, independence, and productivity. Mm-hmm. A mentor's manual? A relationship manual. Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. And so it's very important if you want to look at long-standing marriages. I know that that's not really popular these days. Yes, this book can help you have your 40th, 50th, and 60th anniversary. Matter of fact, we had on the Happy News a couple of weeks ago, a couple celebrating their 83rd anniversary. She was 100, he was 102. Yes, they understood, for sure, what it takes to have a long-standing relationship. So there's also a manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories, loving yourself at deep levels, and creating the life you've always desired. This book will teach you how to go back in time, doing a little time travel, to go back in time and being that mentor, that godfather, that godmother next door to your old self or your young self, and being that counselor, that friend, and helping your child self through the difficulties they were going through. This will change the feelings of the events in those past. Yeah, in the past there, they caused some problems, then and now. Yeah, it does that. Mm-hmm. Yep, so in order to really understand it, you have to get the book. So Dorothy was talking about Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and cloudsofabundance.com, and you can get it, and you can read part of it free on Amazon. So go get it. Right now, we're going to do our Happy News segment, and we always do a Happy News to celebrate great things happening here and abroad. With that in mind, we have Dorothy again. Take it away.
The title of today's article is Paralyzed Track Coach Wins, Walks, and Wins Again by Ashley Vaughn. More than a decade ago, while driving to Disney World, Beverly Kearney was badly injured in a car accident. Two of her friends died, and Kearney was thrown more than 50 feet from the vehicle. She suffered a skull fracture and extensive spinal damage. After multiple surgeries, she was told by doctors that she would never walk again. When they told me I was paralyzed, it went in one ear and out the next, Kearney said. I never doubted for one moment that I was going to walk. The decorated University of Texas The decorated University of Texas head women's coach continued to lead her team from a hospital bed. Track practices were filmed, and athletes would walk to Kearney's hospital to review their tapes after dinner. People asked me how I could coach from a hospital bed, paralyzed and in pain. I coach from my heart, she said. After years of therapy, Kern defied expectations and learned to walk again. It's all about where your point of origin is from. Most people focus on what's gone bad. I focus on what good is coming next. Kearney has made even larger strides in the world of college sports. She's the first African-American head coach at UT. I received so much opposition that I stopped trying to figure out where it was coming from. I didn't know if it was because I was black, female, or because I wanted to be successful, so I had to figure out how to dodge bullets, watch my back, and succeed. But I never lost sight of winning. Under her leadership, she's led the Texas women's track team to 6 NCAA championships. She has also won National Coach of the Year 5 times. After all that I have been through in my life, every experience has been the foundation that has created an unwavering, unshakable faith that all things are possible, Kearney said. To learn more about UT's women's track coach, Beverly Kearney, and how she is using her story to inspire others, please visit BevKearneyPursuitOfDreams.com. That's BevKearneyPursuitOfDreams.com.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Very good. And there's also a real good video clip there you can find where you can see her actually walking again. And when the doctors told her that she would never be able to do that. Yeah, so... This is an example of someone who has reconnected to their higher self. We always like to pull out stories, hero stories, and folks who have understood what we're talking about on this Reconnected show, how to reconnect to that higher self within so that you can accomplish the goals and make strides and make, you know, all kinds of things happen for you that others say, you can't have it. You can't do those things. She says she's going to do it because she was listening to a higher voice within her. So we applaud her for that. All right, today's theme, Resolution and Emotional Life, Part 2 with Dr. E. Douglas Brown. On the last show with Dr. Brown, we talked about how conflict in the home without resolutions affect the child. Dr. Brown was saying that when the child does not witness resolutions in the home, the toxic effects of their negative emotions only increase, like fear, anxiety, and depression. When the child views these conflicts and they become a pattern of behavior in the home, the child is more likely going to develop some antisocial behaviors, carry anger around with him, getting into fights, having behavior issues at school. They will feel worthless and self-esteem will be very low. They will suspect anyone trying to get close to them of having ulterior motives. They are gang leader candidates. Yeah, so to hear the whole discussion, simply log into www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnected and click on Resolution and Emotional Life with Dr. Douglas Brown. Today we have a returning friend of the show. We're going to continue our discussion from then. Dr. Douglas Brown with us as he will continue his theme of resolution in emotional life. Now, part two. It is just as important to clean up the storm, as he was talking about before, as it is to learn how to endure a storm. Imagine what a neighborhood looks like after a storm if no one cleans up. Storm after storm, debris and wreckage just pile up. This scenario is likened to what happens when a child never or rarely sees individuals in arguments and conflicts reconcile with each other. That loving apologies and loving hugs and loving I'm sorry's and all that. Yes, think about a child that never sees that part of it. There's no closure, no return to a sense that the world is both safe and caring. The child, now an adult, experiences repeated disagreements and disappointments and shackled to the view that his or her cynical, negative feelings are just being realistic about life. We're going to talk about the adolescent phase today. Mm-hmm. Okay, without any further ado, we have Dr. Brown for you. Dr. Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Nazim. Looking forward to today's discussion.
There you go. I believe, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, now you're there. Okay, yes. There was a slight break. There was a slight break there. I want to make sure we hear you totally. I don't want to hear a partial,
okay.
Dr. Brown. We hear the total Dr. Brown.
All right, thank you.
All right. Yeah, a little bit it won't do.
All right.
Okay.
We weren't reconnected for a minute there. We got reconnected, see?
Yes, sir. Okay, with that in mind, we're going to continue our discussion. And so now that we did our intros and we talked about your background before, we can go right into our topic. And we left off with them getting to their, I guess, you know, puberty area, say 13. Now, here's this child to catch up with other people who might be hearing this for the first time. The children who have witnessed fighting, arguing in the household, they're seeing these things. Now, anytime a child sees conflict, you know, their inner child is disturbed. They're watching, observing, you understand? So there's like the eyes are video cameras. They're taping everything. Nothing gets missed out.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
It all gets recorded.
It.
Yeah, it's all right there. So they might not experience distraught on their face at the time, but they're taking everything in.
Yes, indeed.
See, but now afterwards, if they don't see the resolution, that causes more disturbance. It's like a little tidal wave starting in the background. You see, and so we talked about how that affects them in childhood. Now, the same child is in, say, 12 years old now. Now, what happens to the child? Dr. Brown, take it from there.
All right. Let's look at the experiences, the emotional experiences that that child had, that that young child has had. Let's also assume that there has not been any significant resolution for a lot of those negative experiences. Let's kind of call that an emotional or video library.
Okay.
An emotional video library. So as the child grows and becomes an adolescent, we're talking about between 13 and 18 years of age. That's what we normally call adolescence in our society. There are so many challenges that accompany that stage in life. And whatever is in that emotional video library is very crucial. And being able to initially resolve those challenges, solve them, identify a healing outcome, appropriate outcome. The emotional video library that I have, since I have been, say, from 2 to 12 or what have you, contains important information. To the extent that that information or what's in that library either motivates me toward further resolution, it motivates me to approach these new challenges, or I become afraid. I'm even more afraid. Now, what I'd like to do in this discussion for our audience, and, you know, because we're dealing with such an important phase of life, let's kind of look at it in steps. Let's look at it in elements of this phase. One of the most important dimensions of adolescence is personality and identity. We all have went through that. When we're adolescents and we're in junior high school or high school, one of the most predominant things on our mind is, how do I fit in? Who am I? What makes me different?
Right.
You know, I'm trying to establish my own personal identity, right? I'm trying to carve out something that makes me unique from my peers and other people around me. And many times I may go to that emotional video library, that emotional library in my head, and I kind of look at pictures about who I was and what I went through when I was younger.
Yes.
Now, as we talked last week, you see the storms. If I look in this library, these videos, and I see a lot of storms, but I don't see anybody cleaning up. There's no resolution. So I don't really know how to approach these new challenges. My identity, so to speak, is stumped.
Uh-oh.
My identity and ability to move forward is kind of arrested, because that child in me, that from 2 to 12, that identity as a child, I can't hold on to that any longer. There's got to be some growth.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the lack of resolution, right, the lack of approaching some solution, some positive outcome of some of these storms that I have experienced in the past, I may not have the motivation to move forward. I may feel insecure. Now, we know what we've been through. We know what adolescents do to try to carve out that identity. They'll identify with any group or any individual they can, with musicians, entertainers, anyone they can, to say, I'm who I am. Now, good and bad experiences, the kinds of experiences that we have with other people, obviously are accompanied by feelings and emotions. That's a given. You don't interact with other people without having feelings.
Right.
So essentially, when I go in that video library, I'm looking at these videos of myself interacting with my parents, people more or less in that small group, my family group, the limited kinds of contacts I had in early childhood. Now, I hope that when I look at these videos that I'm going to be able to smile, at least inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see myself being happy or, hey, that was taken care of. You know, my parents may have been involved in an argument, but they seem to have gotten it together. They handled it fairly well. Oh, for that matter, for example, I may have had some skirmishes with my siblings, you know.
Uh-oh.
We get into that. And then I look in that library and see my mom or dad coming in saying, you all straighten out now. You stop fighting now. You should be helping one another. Got to be more positive, right? So as long as they're in the room, we say, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
ma'am.
So my identity, my ability to move forward in adolescence toward a stable identity, in other words, who am I, is very much related to my experiences, positive or negative, and those emotions that accompany the storms. You see, whether there were storms and cleanup that accompany those experiences and emotions. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, you've heard the use of the metaphor baby king or baby queen before. Have you heard that phrase before?
Yes, I have, right. Actually.
Right. You know, if I'm not mistaken, that phrase more or less refers to a child that's indulged or self-centered or an infant or child that's essentially given the, so to speak, they're given virtually whatever they want, or they have an attitude that everything around them circles around them.
Yeah,
circles
spoiled.
Circles around their needs. Spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would have helped me out a few seconds ago. Right there,
yeah, spoiled.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, spoiled children are happy when you continue to spoil them, when you continue to give them what they want.
Yes.
They are happy. They're pleasant. They're nice. But you take away those things that they want, or they've got to get off of the playground and they've got to learn to share with others, then we have some of those negative feelings, negative emotions. I call these social emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way of saying they're not exactly equivalent to the feelings that accompany when we're at home with our sisters and brothers and parents.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in that parenting. These are social emotions because we're stepping out. We're broadening our contact with other people. So that baby king in me or that baby queen in me can no longer run the show. And I can't have what I want. And I've got to learn that I can't have what I want, that other people are as deserving of the same positive things in life as myself. So my emotional stability, emotional life, and the resolution of my emotional life hinges a great deal on my understanding of my relationship with others.
Okay.
And I'm not the only one on the block. Now, I'm sure your audience and you are familiar with codependence. In fact,
mm-hmm.
you talk about it a great deal in Reconnected.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Children that are codependent, children who develop an excessive emotional independence on their parents tend to, but it's not a given, they will possibly become codependent adults.
Mm-hmm.
There are other factors that will lead to that codependence. Now, other factors considered, but a major factor that we wish to talk about is codependence involves a very strong emotional tie with another person.
Yes.
It involves a very strong emotional feeling that I cannot break away from this person. Break away meaning that I cannot live without this person. I will be unhappy. I will be miserable. I don't really know what to do. Well, normally speaking, in adolescence, one of the challenges of adolescence is learning how to fly or get out of that nest. How to express more independent feelings, you know, moving closer to that adult, to being a productive individual. So, if there's no reconciliation, if there's no reconciliation in those early years of life and in early adolescence on an emotional level, I cannot move out of that nest.
Mm.
I can't move out of that nest, and I will become, in an exaggerated sense, emotionally dependent on my caretakers, on my parents. I may even become emotionally dependent, codependent on others in my life. I go from one guardian or caretaker to another. I'm never quite capable, you see, of standing there on my own. I'm not quite comfortable and happy with myself, being myself. Emotional life is the bedrock. Many of the tasks, it's the bedrock of the tasks that we have to go through in our adolescence. If the emotions are unstable, if the emotional life is awry, if there mm-hmm. are storms without resolution, they are going to have impact virtually on every aspect of my life, from my eventual career or my sense of occupation, my sense of what purpose do I have in life, possibly preparation for intimate relationships, family life, my attitude toward others. You see, that emotional granite, so to speak, my emotional life, so to speak, determines or co-determines the direction of my ability to adapt on a healthy level in other areas.
All right, the hotel. Let's stop right there. Let's talk. Let's take one little part at a time. Let's talk about relationships.
Healthy,
okay,
right,
here kids is a teenager, and of course, let's talk about the combination of things happening in adolescence, such as the hormones here, peer pressure, and they're not even. Not really quite sure where they are as they're placed in the human spectrum. Really, they're still trying to figure out where they belong. That's why they're looking at certain groups to belong with and attach themselves to. You know,
exactly.
And that's in a healthy teenager,
right? And in a healthy teenager, as a matter of fact, adolescence is frequently regarded as a stage between childhood and adulthood. Some folks have even called it the fake phase. You know, and that fake phase, this twilight between childhood and adulthood, varies. Now, what I mean by varies is, you know, there are many cultures that when a child reaches 13, 14 years of age, they're considered an adult.
Yes.
And adult responsibilities, including marriage or mating, are thrust upon them.
Right.
They're no longer treated as a child. However, in our society, the approach of adolescence does not readily or directly mean you are given adult privileges and responsibilities. So in a way of speaking, when you talk about hormonal and physical changes, when,
mm-hmm.
like in a place like our society, the hormonal and the physical changes that lead to me experiencing different urges and needs, that change my appearance, are not necessarily consistent with the responsibilities and what people expect of me at that stage, right, in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you agree that one characteristic of adolescence is rebellion, so to speak? a rebellion that is breaking away from the traditional, more or less, where you take things for granted. You want to break away from certain teachings you may have learned. You're trying to approach your own identity in a healthy adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy adolescent is trying to approach his or her own identity. Well, that approach becomes very fearful, and that approach is associated with anxiety if I am too emotionally codependent on others. Now, I would like to add with this is that I can become emotionally codependent to a particular relationship because of the fears that I have experienced, the traumas, the storms. In other words, I'm emotionally codependent because I've been through a lot of storms when I was younger, but we stayed in the shelter.
Okay.
We didn't come out and clean up.
Okay.
Whereas in adolescence, I'm not given much of a choice. I'm told to come out and start cleaning up. In other words, I've got to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, and I've got to learn how to prepare for a productive life. I've got to move forward in terms of learning how to cope with different situations, my interactions with other people. So if I don't have any cleanup behind me, I'm not going to really approach that period. You see, I'm not going to really be able to deal very effectively in my adolescence. I'm going to experience a lot of inadequacy. I'm going to feel inadequate. I may feel inferior. I may feel rejected by a group, you see, that I want to belong to.
So tell me, what kind of person would be attracted to them? And so, in other words, basically, what kind of mate would they have at that adolescent stage?
Well, adolescents typically try to bond with someone that they believe they... adolescents, for example, in terms of peers, when it comes to so-called romantic love, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, adolescents are doing what they're initially experiencing, all of the urges and feelings that go along with the hormonal changes and the physical changes. Depending on the culture that they live in, they may not quite understand what's happening. What they do, in fact, understand is something called attraction.
Yes, they got that one down.
Now let me ask you, we notice between 2 and 12, they're playing together and everything. They're the least attracted to one another on that level, right?
Right.
Then when those hormonal and physical changes emerge, they start experiencing these attractions toward one another in terms of their masculine and feminine role and their male and female identity.
Right.
Now, imagine if I've only seen my parents fight all the time. In other words, there's always been storms and very little resolution. Or let's take it another direction. Let's say that in my earlier childhood as a girl or boy, I'm not receiving the kinds of assurance and pats on the back, so to speak, or smiles, which are a kind of reconciliation that I need, that are important. As I approach these novel or new social roles and interactions, I'm probably going to feel a sense of inadequacy.
Sure.
Comfortable. Now don't, and I don't think you are, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that adolescents immediately enter mature adult relationships in terms of, in our society, husband, wife. I'm not talking about these kinds of intensive relationships. What I am referring to is that my relationships, let's say if I'm a boy, my relationships with both my father and my mother are very important. And it's
right.
also very particularly important in terms of my mother, right? The emotional
right.
relationships I have with my mother. Because that's going to be some carryover and residual, to some extent, regarding my emotions with young ladies and girls that I meet.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true, you know, with a girl. Her emotional life with her parents, you know, if they're rewarding, if they encourage her, if they motivate her, that's going to have an impact and effect on her relationships with boys she meets or teenage male peers. Now, any absence of resolution, like parent gets angry at child, argues, raise voice. So in the absence of resolution in my childhood with my, if I'm a boy with my mother, if I'm a girl with my father, in the absence of resolution, there are going to be some difficulties.
Now with those difficulties, and feeling those of inadequacies, still they're going to be attracting someone. There's always, as we know, there's always a match out there, good or bad. And so what kind of match will they have? Because, you know, in their little, especially 16-year-old, because usually 16, that's the time when they want to have a little girlfriend, boyfriend, and hold hands and go to cafeteria together. So what kind would be attracted to want to hold the hand of a person like that?
I'm tempted to say someone who shares the same characteristics.
Well, it makes sense.
It does, but that's not always in the play.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because there's always the light side of adolescence and there's the shadow of adolescence. As Carl Jung would say, the shadow adolescence refers to a tendency toward manipulative behavior.
Okay.
Right? Toward taking advantage maybe of another person. And depending on who that partner is in my adolescence, that person in fact may be taking advantage of me because they know that I have these emotionally inadequate feelings about myself. See?
How would they know that? They wouldn't know that, would they?
Yes, they would. They would be able to inadvertently and indirectly pick it up, for example, by the manner in which I communicate, the way I communicate. They may be able to pick it up in my gestures and you know, my voice tone. You know, when you're going through high school and when you're an adolescent,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to have a boy-girl relationships, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, there are many adolescents that are very uncomfortable simply interacting and communicating with members of the complementary sex.
Yeah, but
they
then
don't
if
really
you
know how to feel.
Sure, but if you, like you were saying or alluding to earlier, if the other person has similar qualities about them, then they could feel attracted to one another, isn't that right?
Yes, they could, but why would I want to be with someone like myself when I don't value myself, when I don't, I feel I'm inadequate?
Well, actually, I hear that.
I'm trying to get my identity together.
But at the same time, it's saying, this person understands me. Wow.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. You're right. Empathy.
Yeah.
Understanding, right?
They understand me. So I can open up to a person like that. They understand me.
That's right. I recant that. You're absolutely right. You know, many times we see young people in relationships, adolescents in relationships, for no other reason that they feel comfortable talking to the other person, talking to their girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever
mm-hmm.
it is that's close to them, telling them about their fears,
mm-hmm.
their doubt, someone to listen to.
Right.
Someone to listen to.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know,
so that really could be a mate for them, a candidate for them, someone who has the same similar issue. Because what happens, you have, it's kind of like you know, souls on the same vibration. They, you know, the radar is out there, and a lot of times the adolescents are looking for someone who has the same issues they do, so they can have camaraderie somewhere, because they want to know that they're not alone out here. Isn't that right?
Yes, indeed. You're right. You're right. Now, you know what the catch-22 is in a relationship like that. If I'm a guy and I'm involved with a young lady and she's telling me about her anxieties and sadness, let's just say with her father, it could be a father or brother, right? Emotional, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I get into this, I start explaining to her, well, you know, I have the same feelings with my sister and my mom. And she says, well, how do you deal with that? And I say, well, I just let them go. I don't pay any attention to them. That's why I'm with you.
Well,
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they would say the last part. It might scare them off.
No, I don't either. I did that jokingly, right?
That's why you're there. Oh, my.
That's why you're there, okay? See, now, I'm probably, of course, I'm not going to verbalize that part. But here's what's inevitable, or let's say highly probable, when we go through these teenage years of confusion, right?
Uh-huh.
Probably in a short term, either the young lady or the young man is going to be mature. They're going to mature. They're going to get beyond, you know, some of those emotional experiences and the lack of cleanup that should have occurred, because they simply got too many demands right in front of their face.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to be practical, to be realistic, they got to do their homework. Okay? The guys are going out. They're going out later on to in a football game or something. There are other demands, so to speak. So to the extent that adolescent who was growing, experimenting with relationships, moves toward these kinds of relationships with their emotional satisfaction, that relationship's not going to last long with that girlfriend or boyfriend. It's not going to last long.
Well,
you got
if you look
problem
at the,
if it lasts too long.
Well, if you got mid adolescence, everything's short term anyway, isn't that right? I mean, you're talking
Absolutely,
about, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
It's short term anyway. So, but
Absolutely.
I think for a time it's kind of like, you know, the aspirin. Someone takes the aspirin for a headache that has nothing to do with the aspirin, but what happens, it gets the illusion of temporary relief. You
temporary
see? So,
relief. So that's
so
not reconciliation.
No.
Temporary relief is not reconciliation. It's temporary relief.
Mm-hmm.
It's the temporary relief. See? So we've got, like we've been talking, we've got a number of things going on in adolescence. We've got identity. We've got relationships with peers. We've got even my appearance. You know, how often does the adolescent look in the mirror? You know, those little blemishes on the face.
Oh, my.
Right. A constant, you know, if when you're younger, if you are bombarded with a great deal of negativity all the time, again, a lot of storms and no resolution, you're not going to have much from that.
All right. Now, let's go a little forward in time, a little more in time now. Now, the adolescent is now some kind of way. He's graduated high school, some kind of way.
Out of high school.
And not the top of the class, but he got through it. Okay. And now he says,
right.
Okay, well, I'm placed on a junior college, and I got to decide what I'm going to do now. So he takes basic GE classes, and so now he's in college. So how is he thinking, and what do you think he's going to be falling into at that stage?
Well, you know, in a general sense, what we can, let's say that what we're talking about is the juvenile is attempting to embark on more socially mature behavior.
Okay.
You know, more becoming more of an adult, more responsible behavior, wanting to try to identify some career in his or her life, some occupation or some career. So the individual goes to college, takes post-high school courses, or goes to a technical school.
Yeah.
And depending, again, on the degree of resolution and other experiences, early experiences in life, let's just say that young person is told you may get an F in this class or you may not be able to pass this course, right? Which is obviously accompanied with a lot of anxiety. If that young person doesn't have what? The resolve, okay? Between resolution and resolve. If that person does not have the resolve and determination to do what? To alter what they're doing or modify their behavior so they can either take the course again, a class again, or identify something that possibly is better for them, they're going to meet with a lot of failure.
Oh, okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You understand here emotionally that emotional resolve, the resolve that you develop in early experiences in life, through these kinds of, these encounters and the cleanup after the storm, well, when you hear storms or see storms coming after school, after high school, and you go to junior college, or you go to school, or you go on road A and you have to stop, then you have the motivation and resolve. You're disappointed. You don't like what's happening. Isn't the first time. There are a lot of things in your life you say, well, I've been disappointed with, and it didn't turn out the way I hoped it would turn out, but I know that I can get beyond it. I've seen people do this before. I've seen my brothers and sisters do it, my parents do it. I've been in situations where I haven't gotten what I wish, but I made it through.
Okay, sure.
Well, obviously, a healthy child doesn't talk to them, a young adult doesn't talk to themselves like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the subconscious. This is what's actually happening in that individual's mind. They are listening to, so to speak, the audio recordings, not the visual recordings or videos, but they're going back in the library, and they're listening to the audio recordings, which contain what they said to themselves in previous situations where they encountered these obstacles. And emotionally, emotions began with maybe horror, disappointment, tears, confusion, bewilderment, but it eventually comes around to resolution, determination, calm, a feeling of calm, a sense that, I can attain this happiness, this content that I'm looking for, no matter what I'm going through.
But hold tight now. Also, don't you think there might be a candidate, if they're looking at, especially if they're looking at couples who are seemingly loving and happy, and around them, and they have no idea what that feels like, don't you think they might be a candidate for drugs or depression at that point? What do you think?
Of course. Again, it depends on the extent to which there's not been any resolution after the storms. If this young person has been around a predominant number of individuals or many situations where there have been a lot of negative feelings or conflicts and frayed relationships, they are candidates for substance abuse. They are a clear candidate for substance abuse when they start encountering similar types of disappointments, in their own pursuit of a life purpose and a life partner. Because what is it they want to do? What? They want to restore a feeling of contentment. Or,
right.
Let's put it another way. They want to escape those negative feelings. They want to get away from the negative emotions and negative feelings, you see.
Yeah, they want to do
I
that.
I see that quite often. I see that quite a bit because I work with individuals who need residential treatment, that degree of substance abuse is such that they have to go into residential treatment. And one of the common denominators, you see, in many individuals who require residential substance abuse treatment is their lack, you see, the lack of resolution in their life, emotional resolution, interpersonal, positive and productive interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so the self has to be rebuilt. The self
yes.
has to experience healing. The wires
mm-hmm.
have been frayed. They have been frayed to such an extent that a little tape is not going to do it.
And also you have mental health issues that are right around the corner with their name on them too.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I just simply like to, you know, going back, emotions in adolescence are the bedrock and foundation for most of, if not all of, the challenges and the roles that we have to play in adult life.
Yeah.
You know, in adult life.
Now, what I want to do here, I know time is running short here now. We need to continue this because now we have to look at later years in this person's life. And then, after we finish that idea, to go back from the beginning again, look at what happens on the positive side when this person actually sees a resolution from the conflict and go through the same cycles. And after that cycle, then we have to go back again and look at a person who never experienced conflict at all in the household and how they actually fared in the world.
Right, or how they experienced it, but there was resolution. You know, I would argue that it's hardly any household that doesn't experience some conflict. If you give me just a moment, I'd like to also share this with your audience as well.
Sure.
One of the most important phases of life where there has to be resolution is the latter phase of life. And we're going to talk about that in another.
Oh, yeah.
When we do the show again, the latter phase of life. Because.
Oh, yeah, good.
You see, all of the cleanup, when I go to that video, I go to that library and I look at those video and listen to those audio tapes,
mm-hmm.
all of it comes together in the latter stage of my life.
Yes, matter of fact, you hit on something really important because I know a lot of us are experiencing issues with our parents, grandparents who are, you know, 80 plus years old, and what happens, they're going through something that is a result of unresolved issues from their past.
Definitely. Yes.
And it's magnified to the point where it's so real in their life now as if the person who might have even died is right there with them and they're having arguments with them.
You better believe it. That's true.
So we have to go into that for sure because I've seen that too. So tell you what, that'll be next time. And I'll talk to you off air. I'm looking at actually the first Saturday in July, but we'll talk off air. But I want to thank you because there are a lot of scenarios. I mean, even kids who didn't see conflict, there might have been conflict, but sometimes you have parents that are so guarded, they keep all arguments away from the kids. They might even go outside and have a knockdown, drag out argument, come
not
inside.
Good. Not good.
And children don't see anything, you know?
Yeah, that's not good, right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole nother.
It's the real world.
That's a whole other aspect. We had to look at that, maybe the Beaver to Beaver
yeah.
kind of family.
Right.
And
you said leave it to Beaver. We're about teaching people how to become weavers. See?
Weavers.
Yeah, to weave it back together.
Hey, that's
Revolution.
Good. Fact,
that's
good,
you know,
sometimes
in other words,
for that phase.
Leave it to the weaver, right? Don't just leave
okay.
it to the weaver. Okay.
That's a good subtitle. I like that.
Okay.
So
we'll
that'll
keep
be our,
that. We'll keep
that'll
that.
Be our last scenario. We do after we do finish this one and go back and look at what happens when there is resolve, and we'll do it that way too. So, okay, very good. So I want to thank Dr. E. Douglas Brown, who came wonderfully on our show.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that, man, and so forth. There's a lot of people have been helped. We've had hits from two from South Africa. We got Malaysia, Indonesia, Bangkok, Germany, and latest is Singapore.
Wow, great. That's great.
So,
that's beautiful.
So Singapore. And matter of fact, that's Singapore came on last about 2 weeks ago. She came on, it's wonderful. Now, they haven't left any particular comments, but just by the fact that they've connected says that they're getting it.
Absolutely. That's great.
You know, they're getting it.
Always great. All right.
Yeah,
we're going to look forward to the subsequent shows and the one on the Leave It to the Weaver.
Absolutely. So we thank you again. So everybody, come
thank
back next week, and we're going to have a rebroadcast. And following that, we'll have something on child development. But everybody, come back for sure. Thank you again, Dr. Brown. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Everybody, will you find yourself disconnected?